come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on? God, it seems like it's been forever since I've seen you, and I love every second of it.
It was just 7 days ago.
It seems like forever, and I've needed the break.
Likewise.
First and foremost, before we get to the shenanigans that's going to be the next 2 hours here on Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Zone. Kind of a pretty impressive list of guests today.
I like it.
In about 15 minutes or so. Am I going out on a limb and saying you're soon to be your welterweight UFC champion of the world, Kamaru Usman?
I mean,
am I jinxing it? Should I not say that?
Well, let's just say it this way. He's got a 50-50 shot.
I think he's got a better than that shot.
Well, you got a 50-50 shot of getting that right.
Right. I have a 50-50 shot of getting it right. So Kamaru will be on. Shannon Rich, victorious down there in Mexico.
26 seconds. Still.
I believe he's put up a $100,000 bet against Bobby Gunn.
That's a super fight that's got to happen. It's got
to
happen.
We'll talk to Shannon Rich about that. Max Payne, Max Griffin will be on. We're going to talk a little bit about this. And the controversy continues on judges. And, you know, and I'll bring it up with him. You know, I don't want to rehash it. But
sure.
The problem with the judges is there's so many different criteria. So what I'm looking for when I judge next Saturday in Tampa for the World Class Fight League, with Ralf Garcia will be on in the second hour to talk about that. A different judge is looking for something else.
Sure.
You know, a significant strike over a takedown.
And that's why you don't leave it in the judge's hands.
And we will talk to Max here shortly. And then it leaked out. It wasn't supposed to leak out, but it did. The BKFC, Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, has signed Artem Lobov. And he will be on this program in the second hour.
I saw that.
This is our weekly official BKFC segment.
I love it.
Yeah, it is cool.
I saw the announcement on Twitter, and I was almost a fan myself, and I'm like, wait, I'm part of the show. That was pretty cool.
Well, yeah, sort of. You're sort of a part.
I'm here.
So Artem will be on. Ralf Garcia will be on. Another surprise or two may be on. We've got some giveaways. We also have some bad news.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, not for you.
Oh, okay.
It's not bad news for you.
So kept my job for another week.
We haven't gotten through the 2 hours yet. That's subject to change. But there is a very good possibility. And I was psyched. Honestly, I was. I truly, and I'm hoping Grossman's not listening just
Uh-oh.
Yet.
Oh, no.
May not be able to do Rugged Maniac.
Oh.
I really want to.
Come on. We can't do the Rugged Maniac without our leader.
I know, but Artem fights on the 20th in Mississippi for BKFC.
Yeah.
This is we're
the official.
Well, at least I am.
Okay, you're official.
Right, I'm official.
I guess I'll be the captain of the Rugged Maniac.
You very well may be.
All right.
You know, so we'll figure it out. We will figure out how to play that out. So, where do you want to start?
Man, we can start anywhere you want.
That's why I asked
there's
you.
So much. There's where so do you much going on.
Do you want to go to last week's UFC?
Sure.
Don't forget we have a UFC this week, and unfortunately, I was supposed to be. Possibly we, but I was supposed to be in Phoenix. But because it's a Sunday, it pushed everything back.
Sure.
So all the media stuff and where we get the fighters would have been tomorrow, not today. And it just, as much as I wanted to go out and hang out at 8-Man Strong and hang out with Shannon and all that kind of stuff, it just didn't make sense when Nashville right around the corner, Philadelphia right around the corner.
Sure.
Vegas right around the corner.
Jones Smith,
looking forward to that.
That's a big fight. That's big.
It truly is. But, you know, Jones has had a bunch of really big fights.
Sure.
But, you know, can Anthony Smith step up?
Sure. That's going to be the.
You know, I know that there's been a lot of talk about, you know, and we kind of talked about it in weeks past about, well, he's beaten two former champs. Yeah, but they're former champs. You know, when you look at, and I tend to do this, I look at who they've beat, who they've lost to, that kind of stuff. Come on.
Does it matter, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like the record matters. Isn't it about like current, like how you feel in injuries?
No, all of that comes in. You asked, does who they fought and when they fought them matter? And it does. You know, when we're looking at, and there's many things to look at when we're guessing on who's going to win.
Right.
Okay. Many things. And we are only guessing. You know, to beat Anderson Silva Saturday night compared to when Chris Weidman beat Anderson Silva when he was untouchable.
Sure.
When a lot of people had him as the GOAT. It matters.
Do you want to talk about that fight? I mean, how did you feel about Israel and Anderson? I mean,
didn't most people think Israel was going to just go and demolish him?
Well, it was crazy that it actually ended up being the title fight, right? So,
it was the main event.
Right. So, but yeah, I mean, it was, I don't know. I just felt like it was not what I wanted to see as a fan.
Because Anderson has fallen so far?
Yeah. I mean, I think Israel was just playing respectful and not trying to like kill him. I mean, honestly, I mean, it just seemed like.
Oh, I don't.
You really think that that went the distance into a decision?
Yeah, I don't think he was fighting to be respectful. I don't. And if he did, if that was his game plan to be respectful of your opponent, guess he deserved to lose. Because you can't. You can't, you know, look in awe of who you're fighting.
Yeah, but I mean, can you really put a beating on a legend like that and feel good about yourself when you're in your prime, up and coming, 15-0?
All right, let me see how I want to answer that. Hell yes.
I get it. I mean,
absolutely.
When Matt Hughes put a whooping on Gracie, I mean, do you think he felt good about it?
I don't think it bothered Matt Hughes one iota.
Really? Oh, here we go again.
But that's your internet. That's
going to be my internet.
Well, when it says internet connection is poor, that's on you.
Well, I don't own the internet company.
Maybe you should. I own the equipment. You need to own the internet.
That's true.
When you're in the middle of a fight, you cannot think about who that is across from you.
I mean, I know it's still a dangerous guy. I know it's still, you know, well, at one time the greatest of all time. But, I mean, it's just, I don't think they should put those fights together, honestly. They should put together, like, you know, guys that are.
But isn't that in your fake world, your best friend, your man crush, Hulk Hogan, you know, in that realm, isn't that putting him over? So if he would have gone in there and demolished Anderson Silva, wouldn't that have put him over? For him to think that he's now the champ, right?
Yeah. No.
Well, he said that. Then Israel said that he should fight Gastelum getting.
Because he told him to take the belt down. He's like, yeah, take that belt.
That whole thing was strange.
Yeah.
And Whitaker, from what I was told, wanted to still fight.
I mean, he had a hernia, right? It was a diagnosis of hernia.
Right. That I guess he didn't know. Now, I don't know much about testing, but I don't know. But he didn't know about it. Then he got real sick the night before, but he was still going to attempt to fight. And now Gastelum thinks he's the champ. The UFC has stepped up and paid Gastelum.
They paid him.
Did they pay Whitaker?
I don't know. I didn't see.
I'm just curious. It happened the night before.
But Gastelum's not the champ. He didn't.
He's far from the champ. No.
He didn't. Well, but why did he come out with a suit on and the belt over his shoulder?
Because he believes he's the champ. Because Whitaker didn't fight.
But how did he get access to the belt?
Is that the real belt?
Well,
you can buy those belts in the arena.
That's true.
Right?
I took a photo of the belt once.
Yeah. You're such a tool. You are such a tool.
Yeah. Well, I told Hulk Hogan, I was like, hey, Terry. I was like, you know, I wrestle the dumbest sport on earth. It's because two men fight for a belt and they got no pants on.
Okay.
He didn't laugh either.
Yeah. It really wasn't that funny.
No, it's just facts. What facts?
I don't find it funny. I don't even get it.
They have no pants on. They're fighting for a belt.
How do they not have pants on?
They have no pants on. They got
shorts or pants, aren't they?
Yeah, they got all belt loops.
But shorts are considered pants.
But I got no belts.
Right. Not that I really want to know the answer. How's this comedy garbage that you're doing? How's that going?
It's going exactly as it should go.
Bad.
It's going nowhere fast. Like this radio show.
How come everything you touch goes nowhere fast?
Because that's what I do. I'm an anchor.
I literally have sat in your restaurant here numerous times.
I hold everything back. They should call me at the dam. I just hold everything back.
There's definitely some truth to that.
But speaking of wrestlers, tomorrow I'll be part of the filming of Total Divas, the TV show. Have you ever seen that? Watch that?
I have not watched it, but I'm aware of what the show is.
So it's Nikki Bella and John Cena's ex-fiance and all the wrestling
and
women.
And Daniel Bryan's wife.
I don't know who that is.
That's the other Bella.
Well, I'll see her tomorrow. And did you see your boy, Henry Cejudo, said he'd fight John Cena for Nikki Bella's love? Yeah, so it's coming up Valentine's Day tomorrow.
Now,
See,
I saw something Cejudo tweeted that Bella has to come down and wait. Because he must weigh less than she does.
What's he weigh? Like 125 when he fought Dillashaw.
Right.
So, I mean, who would win? You got the 125-pound champ versus John Cena. Who would win in that fight? Because you got muscle, you got a military background. The wrestlers are tough dudes. They might not be as technical, but they're true athletes.
Who would win that fight? I don't know. I'm leaning towards Cena.
Cena could knock him into like another planet.
Well, you know, you do remember, you know, I've talked about, I took John McLaughlin, a former D lineman with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I believe was the first D lineman gunner in the NFL, I believe.
Okay.
I don't check facts, so I just make them up.
Sounds good.
So we went out, we were broadcasting from a UFC, and you and John are very similar.
Okay.
Very loud, boisterous, obnoxious, on and on and on. So he starts screaming, he wants Randy Couture. Now, Randy's fighting that weekend.
Okay.
And I want to say, I don't even remember what day the show was. So it couldn't have been Friday. I honestly don't remember. So he starts screaming, I want Couture. So Dana brings out Gil Casillas, who was a welterweight.
Okay.
And they kind of grappled a little bit, and Gil put him in like some kind of knee bar.
Right.
And John stood up and tried to like just shake him off. And everybody starts screaming, tap, 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 you know, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And, of course, he didn't.
Right.
So everybody's laughing at John McLaughlin. And everybody's basically saying, you know, John McLaughlin was going to get killed, John McLaughlin this, John McLaughlin that. Well, then Gil went and took John's neck, kind of put him in a rear naked. John stood up. Now, keep in mind that John, 6'4", I'm making up, 6'4", 240.
Okay.
250.
Right.
So he stood up and fell backwards on top of Gil Casillas.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that he almost killed him.
Oh. All right.
So wouldn't Cena do the same thing?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's kind of how we ended up in this fighting combat sport thing. As we know it as the ultimate fighting. I mean, that's Dan Severn, the big, you know, 6'2", 250-pound brawler beast, you know, fighting a guy like Hoist Gracie. And learned quickly that it was all about leverage. Had nothing to do with power or raw strength. I mean, once the ground, you know, was an equalizer.
Yeah, but that's when he was fighting in the pajamas.
Well,
right?
Yeah, but at least you need a belt for your robe.
Yeah, so but
at least makes more sense.
But now, who's the? I don't remember. It's been so many years since I was in the jiu-jitsu gym. Who is the one that rips it open? Is that the guy wearing the pajama, or is that the other guy? The guy wearing the pajama, the gi, wants to open it up so that he can wrap it around your head,
I mean,
right?
Well, it goes both ways. I mean, you can use someone else's gi against them and like choke them out with their own gi.
Yeah, somebody's going to choke out Hoist Gracie with his own gi. I
mean, there's people out there.
For some reason, I don't see that happening.
Well, Matt Hughes could probably do it. I mean,
no.
He put a beating on him last time they fought.
Yeah, but no. I don't think anybody in the day. But, okay, you know, we're going back in time, and everybody knows where I stand with Matt Hughes, the greatest welterweight of all time, as of right now. Just saying, as of right now.
Right.
I don't even think Matt could have choked out Hoist in the pajama.
Well, Hoist wasn't even the best Gracie from the reports. Like, he was like the weakest.
He was the youngest, the smallest, and that's why they used him.
Sure.
Right.
To show a point that their system was so dominant that they sent their weakest family member to destroy the world.
Now, could you imagine if you were the second weakest Gracie? Okay, if Hoist is the weakest Gracie, right. You're the second weakest Gracie, and they bypass you to go to the weakest Gracie to prove a point, and now Hoist is a legend, and the second isn't. You know who else is a legend? Soon to be a legend. And I don't want to jinx anything. I got to get permission first. I don't know how I want to go with this, but on the phone with us, one of the original Randy Regime members, Kamaru Usman. Us, how are you?
I am excellent. How's it going, guys?
Not too bad. So you have to talk me down. Am I okay to be excited? Am I okay to be looking forward to? Am I already counting, you know, what is it called? You're counting your chickens before they're hatched, or should I calm down a little?
No, I mean, I think that's okay for you guys to feel that way. I don't think it's okay for me to feel that way yet. But, you know, that's part of what you guys, you guys should feel that way. You know,
okay.
I'm the one who shouldn't be, drinking my own Kool-Aid as of yet.
Okay. Now, normally I don't, and you know me pretty well, but I feel like you're a family member. So, you know, I am excited. I am looking forward. How are you feeling? Are you looking at this like it is, a title fight, soon to be, you know, the welterweight champ of the world? Are you looking at it, hey, it's just another fight on my road to more fights?
Yeah, I mean, I don't, I'm kind of one of those guys to where I've always been that way. I'm not too much of a sit back and smell the roses kind of guy, and I try not to make the moment bigger than it is. I've experienced that before, I've done that before, and I saw the downside of it. And I didn't like that feeling. So I'm one of those guys to where I like to basically let it happen. It's not a big change. It's another fight. There just happens to be more of a bigger reward, per se, behind the fight. So as long as I go out there and I continue to do what I've always done, which is go out there, train my hardest to make the fight look as easy as possible, then everything will work out just fine.
Where do you stand? You know, we've seen a lot of the press conferences. I've known you since The Ultimate Fighter. You know, I know you as a very class person, you know, but now the game has turned a little bit where you need to be brash. You need to talk. And I know you're doing a good job doing it. Are you comfortable doing that? Or would you like it to go back to the way it was where, you know, two guys get in there and fight and all is good?
You know what, Randy, that's an excellent question. I'm kind of in between because I guess it's a new age way of doing things. It's not so much about respect anymore and the arts of it. It's now more so about entertainment aspect of it, to where you kind of have to have the flair of wrestling, of entertainment wrestling behind it in order to sell or be noticed. To where I actually, the funny thing is, I got even a message today or a comment that said, these guys are boring, that why are these guys getting media pertaining to myself and other guys, maybe Cejudo or some other guys, they're saying, oh, these guys are too plain, these guys are too boring. To where we live in an age now to where people want to see the guy that's not respectable, the guy that's not a family man, the guy that's not doing things the right way or virtuous or things like that. They want to see that guy that's going to be brash and be I don't care, be in your face, be rude, and just, you know, morally not show what they should be, because that's the society. That's how things have shifted nowadays. So it's a little tough to find the balance between that, but one thing that I always say is I will not compromise who I am. I will not compromise the values that my father or my parents have instilled in me. I won't do that. Now, one thing I will do is I will state what I'm going to do and what I feel and what I think. If I think I'm going to kick your ass, I'm going to tell you I'm going to kick your ass. So I don't see anything wrong with that.
You know, I see how things have changed so far, obviously. You know, I've seen a lot of MMA. I started covering the UFC at UFC 11. I remember fighters telling me all the time that they never wanted to fight Eve Edwards because they liked him so much, because he was such a good guy. And kind of what we're talking about, guys don't talk that way anymore. Now it all is brash and in your face and, you know, let me get more likes, let me get more Twitter followers. And I don't know if it's going the right direction. It may be getting more money into the sport, but it takes away from what the sport was originally, what I started to follow.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, like, it's generational. Like, every generation, things change and things adapt. And you kind of have to adapt with the times, because if you don't, you'll be a dinosaur. You'll be left behind. And it's funny, one thing that my coach says all the time, and sometimes I agree with them, but sometimes I kind of laugh him off, is they'll say, we're in the sport of not just being martial artists, but also entertainment. And he would make a joke, it's better a bad name than a no name in this society. Absolutely. And that's absolutely true. Because now, there's guys who are, there's a guy, Jake Ellenberger. Let's take him for instance. Jake Ellenberger was one of those, the toughest, hard-nosed guy. Like, he would come in there, and you knew it was a scrap. That was going to be a fight. But he was one of those guys. He didn't have to be brash. He didn't have to talk shit or talk trash or things like that. But yeah, I just felt like a guy like that never got his due, you know, respect per se, because of things like that.
You know, there's another person, you know, that we can say the same thing, believe it or not. And I've said this about Matt Hughes. You know, Matt Hughes, who I think is arguably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, welterweight of all time at this point. You know, it's because he didn't talk. He didn't do all that stuff. And until he started to be hated, I don't think he had near the recognition that he deserved. And that kind of stems from the same thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, similar. You know, Matt Hughes was kind of, I'd say he was in the time. He was caught in that time where it was starting to transition away. The sport started to be more mainstream, started to go more mainstream. And Matt Hughes was kind of one of those guys that was there to where he didn't necessarily need to do that. To where guys like Tito Ortiz and those guys were in your face and the Bad Boys. And so those guys were... You'll have guys that are okay being able to do that and be that guy. But I think Matt Hughes was perfect for his time, because you knew Matt Hughes was going to beat you up. You knew that guy could fight. You knew he had the skills. And he didn't necessarily have to talk in order to get to where he were.
Let me ask you this as we continue this conversation about the way it is now. Which would you rather it be? You know, you talk trash, you do everything you need to do, the fight's over. Do you think you should stay? And I'm not saying you in general, I'm saying you meaning the mixed martial arts world. If you've talked all this on how much you dislike someone, how much you hate someone, should they continue to dislike, continue to hate, and hate's a strong word? Or once the fight's over, do you hug and say, hey, it was all great, it was all a gimmick, and, you know, we sold the fight?
But that depends. That's the good one, too. It depends on... A lot of like, there's some guys that create the beef just because that's what they need in order to perform, in order to fight. They need that. They need to hate you. They need to create that persona. But then there's some guys who, there's really beef there. I mean, you talk about Rashad and Rampage. There was really beef there. That was real. You talk about Rashad and John Jones. There was a story there. That was real. You know, so these guys, and look at modern day, Daniel Cormier and John Jones, that's real beef. Myself and Colby Covington, that's all real. But the only way that guy is going to earn my respect or get respect from me is if we duke it out as men. Because it comes a moment, and I say this all the time, every time you fight somebody, they either take from you or you take from them. And I'm talking internally.
Right.
So when you share that cage and you go through something as intimate as that, as fighting, it's almost impossible not to earn that respect, unless it's something crazy happens and you know, there's different variables that could happen that stops the fight, short of it being where you fight it out and you're just ultimately, you're satisfied. Either you were defeated or either you were victorious, but you fought it out and you're at peace with it. And that's at that point where you can be, it's a mutual respect when you're just like, okay, I shared the octagon with this guy and now there's that respect for him.
So is it possible, and I hate the what ifs and that kind of stuff, you know, with the beef with you and Colby, you finally fight, the fight's over. Is something like that possible to be squashed, or until it happens, you really don't know?
I really don't know. Yeah, that's a good one. I really don't know. On my behalf, absolutely, because I don't really hate anybody. Hate is a very strong word, and it takes a lot to develop hate. I don't really hate anybody, but I seriously dislike the guy, and that's the only way I believe he's going to earn my respect is after I beat him up. And once I do beat him up, and he just basically lays it down that, you know, you're a better man than me, and then we can move forward.
Let me ask you this final question. Matt brought it up to me, and I don't know. I could go either way on this. So Henry Cejudo is trying to go out with one of the Bella twins, who is the former fiance of John Cena. And I know this is all joking and all that kind of stuff, but Henry has said that he would fight John Cena for the Bella twin. Who would win that fight?
Well, it depends. Are they wrestling or are they fighting?
No, they're fighting. No, they're fighting. Nothing's
okay.
Scripted.
Okay, it's a little, it's kind of crazy, but, I mean, Henry is, it's like basically Speedy Gonzalez fighting a giant. So, it's tricky because there's different variables. I mean, what is John Cena going to necessarily do to someone like Henry besides try to get a hold of him and just, you know, keep a hold of him? I mean, Henry will outbox him. Henry is much faster. Henry will probably out-wrestle him. John Cena just has that weight advantage, you know? So, I don't know. It's kind of one of those things, who wants her the most? Who's going to fight it? Who's going to fight to the death for her? So, I think that's what it boils down to.
Great stuff. You know, I was comparing it to, I had a former Buccaneer, John McLaughlin, and we were broadcasting from a UFC, I don't know if you heard part of this, in Vegas, and John starts screaming he wants to grapple with Couture. So Dana brings Gil Castillo over. They grapple. Now, Gren, they were just grappling. They were not fighting. He put him in a knee bar, almost ripped his leg off. Then Gil put him in a rear naked. John stood up, fell backwards, and we all thought Gil was dead. You know, so is it possible that Cena would get lucky where Henry would forget, try to put him in a rear naked, Cena stands up, falls back, and squashes him?
That's very possible. It could be one of those double situations. Cena's out, but he falls on Henry, and Henry's out too. So it could be one of those situations for sure.
It would definitely be worth watching. As always, thank you very much for your time. We're only a couple weeks out. I'll be broadcasting again in Vegas that week. Hopefully, I know it's fight time, but hopefully we can get you on live from the media room in a couple weeks. Best of luck. Do we need to send you cupcakes now or after the fight? When do you want them?
I mean, if you guys want to put it in an advance order so they hear after the fight, more power to you. Perfect. Okay.
So what we'll do is strategically put it in the week of, so around Wednesday or Thursday, because if I put them in today, you'll get them, and then you're going to call me up, and you're going to yell, and you're going to scream that you're looking at these awesome cupcakes, and you can't eat them. So
absolutely.
We'll wait till the week. Thank you very much. Looking forward to seeing you in a couple weeks in Vegas.
All right. See you guys soon.
Take care. Yeah, I got an awful mellow there.
That's awesome.
Good stuff, though.
Great stuff.
Good guy, good dude. He's been part of this program for a long, long time. And I don't root. I'm rooting.
Yeah. And the beef between Colby and him, it will only intensify because now he's got a title shot. You know, the way he handled DeSantos, number five at the time, you know, that's why he got the title shot. So,
you know what else it's time for? That's right, break time. When we come back, we're going to reach out to Shannon Rich. We can do that early. We can do I don't know. We'll figure it out. Yeah, we need to figure out about this $100,000 bet.
Well, we got to pay some bills first, so let's hit this break and keep going.
This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Zone.
But I watch the world float to the dark side of the moon. I feel there's nothing I can do.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Party like a pirate at the Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Open weekends, February 16th through March 31st. Discount coupons available at Hungry Howie's Pizza. Discount tickets available at Circle K and BayAreaRenFest.com.
Disney on Ice presents Dare to Dream, where I can chase adventure like Maui and Moana.
Dream big with Rapunzel.
Anna Proof's family is forever.
And Belle shows us beauty is found within.
At Disney on Ice presents Dare to Dream.
Tickets start at $15. Restrictions and additional charges may apply. Coming to Amalie Arena March 21st through 24th.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxen millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
The Rugged Maniac returns to the Tampa Bay area on April 20th, and we hope you will join the Randy regime as we run the 25 epic obstacles from fire jumps, water slides, trampolines, underground tunnels, and much more in a 3-mile course ending with beer and music. Register today at ruggedmaniac.com. Pick your race time and shirt size, and then get ready for the best time you've ever had. This is the Rugged Maniac 2019.
Since our first store opened in 1969 to our latest acquisition, Mr. Car Wash has always centered on people and bringing them the best service and shine in the car wash industry.
Through continuous research and development, Mr. Car Wash champions the newest technology and services to make your car wash experience better for your vehicle and the environment. With locations from sea to shining sea, go to MrCarWash.com for more details.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn 877-247-ZONE.
Hi, this is Herschel Walker, and I tell everyone out there listening, y'all need to listen to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back up to you live from Florida Pizza, 88th Avenue and 4th Street here in St. Pete. All right, which complaint do you want me to go through first?
Just go through the one that's bothering you the most.
They both bother me, but all right, we're going to start with that awesome liner from one of the greatest collegiate football players of all time, Herschel Walker.
Okay.
Now, granted, he was walking by our table at the Super Bowl.
Sure.
He's with the Bellator. The Bellator guys. You got me thinking the Bella Twins, because that's my second complaint. So he walks by with the Bellator guys, and I have him do a liner.
Okay.
Did you listen to the liner?
I did.
Tell me what you think of the liner.
I loved it.
All right. Back at the studio, can you replay the Herschel Walker liner for me? We'll talk softly
soft, until it's slow. Right.
Hi, this is Herschel Walker, and I tell everyone out there listening, y'all need to listen to Knockout Radio.
So he's telling all the people listening that you need to listen to Knockout Radio.
Right. They're already listening.
They're already listening.
Right. So they're not listening anymore.
I thought it was pretty funny. Now, I'm not going to tell Herschel Walker, hey, could you please do it again? He'd run through me like a tank. Now, you, my moronic friend, what did you just yell across from the pizzeria to me?
The Bella Twins.
No, that's not what you said.
Two of them.
You said, isn't there two of them?
Yeah.
They're the Bella Twins.
Well, why are they fighting? Like John can have one and Henry Cejudo can have the other.
Okay. This proves.
Or if they squish each other in a double knockout, I'm taking both the Twins.
Okay. I really believe that this could be the second time you're fired live on the show from this booth.
From the same booth.
From the same booth. What did I tell you not a half an hour ago?
About what?
One of the Bellas is married to Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
The other Bella is the former fiance of John Cena, now Henry Cejudo's sweetheart.
Well, I don't know which song that is, but I know the lyrics go, "What your man got to do with me?" So I don't listen when you talk about husbands and names. Like, just looking at the twins.
You're just killing me.
I'll fight somebody for a twin.
Whatever.
I'll fight you for a Kit Kat.
I don't like Kit Kats. I'll eat them.
All right. I guess it should have been a Twix. It was like four.
I'm not a big Twix. I'm a big.
What's your candy of choice?
What's it called? Crackle. I'm a big fan of Crackle.
What's a Crackle? Is that like a Canadian dessert?
Crackle is only out during Halloween. And I seriously.
Okay.
And I believe it's from the Hershey family. So it comes in those big Halloween bags of the like half a bite of chocolate bar.
Okay.
So I eat as many as I can. So we used to have somebody that came to our radio show on a regular basis, and she either had a relative or somebody she knew at Hershey. And so for one Halloween, she gave me the big mammoth
crackle bag. The bag of crackle.
Well, I got that too, but
we get pulled over like, oh, just crackle.
Just crackle. I promise. Live PD in Tampa. No, seriously, it's crackle, not crack, crackle. Now it's my crackle or my crack, but so you.
Philadelphia, what's that? What are you guys eating? That porridge or something?
No.
With the spackle.
I can't think of what it's called now, and I love it. It'll come.
Scrapple.
It's the Scooby.
Spackles for drywall.
It's Scooby Doo's favorite snack. It's awesome. Scrapple is awesome, and you know if you didn't have family responsibilities and restaurant responsibilities. You'd be in Philadelphia, and I would purchase Scrapple for you.
I'm looking at flights. The only thing that's tough is like I got my family annual trip.
Come on.
I'm going to fly out of Panama City Beach.
Here's the thing, though.
Flying to Philly.
Seriously, think of this.
Yeah.
It's your family.
Yeah,
they're not going to miss you.
They're not going anywhere.
Right? They're not going anywhere.
They're stuck with me forever.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, who else is going to feed those kids?
Exactly.
So I'm like, I think I'm going to fly out the 27th from Panama City, fly in, do the media, or do the radio show with you. Do the Phillies opening day.
Yeah, it's Phillies opening day Thursday.
Then do the weigh-ins on Friday and then fly home.
We go to spring training for 10 seconds and we leave. But we're going to spend money and go to opening day.
But it is in we can use some spackle.
You can get Scrapple at Publix.
That's not the same.
It's not the same because you have to cook it, you know, and the grills aren't the same and whatever.
Right. Yeah, no, you got to get the authentic Scrapple from the community where it's like originated.
Is there a slower, more boring sport than baseball? Seriously.
No. I mean, golf. Golf is tough to watch.
I think baseball's harder to watch.
Yeah.
I do, because all I want to do is eat.
I mean, golf, they edit so much, so they try to move the game along. But, baseball's
pretty slow. You want to get punched in the face,
okay.
We need to welcome your friend and mine, Shannon Rich.
The Shannon the Cannon.
The Cannon. What's up, buddy? Shannon, are you there? Okay.
How you guys doing today?
There he is.
Not too bad. Big things happened a couple weeks ago. Big things in the horizon. Bare knuckle going on. I see that you're going to do some glory stuff. How do you have time to do all this?
What do you mean, man? I'm the ultimate athlete. This is what I do, man. For 27 years, I've been fighting.
Being an old, fat, out of shape guy who's not an athlete, is it difficult bouncing from one to another? You know, different rules, different things that you got to kind of keep in your mind as you're fighting.
No, I mean, I've been doing it so long that, if it's a boxing match, I know it's boxing rules. If it's MMA, I know it's MMA rules. If it's just a jiu-jitsu match, obviously jiu-jitsu rules. So, you know, I've been doing it so long that it's just, you know, whatever the contract says we can do, then that's what I do.
You know, I would think that it would be easy to separate, but sometimes guys, how do they forget that? How do they?
I don't think they forget it. I think what happens is during a fight, let's say if it's a jiu-jitsu match and they end up headbutting the guy, happened to me one time against Verissimo, BJ Penn's coach, in an MMA match, he headbutts me and he goes, "Oh, I forgot." I think it's just that they get in a bad spot and they need to either break or restart or get a warning so that they can restart. So I don't think it's that they actually really forgot.
Well, you know, and I have said this, you know, it's worth losing a point to continue a fight that you may possibly still win.
Absolutely, man. I've seen a lot of guys, you know, especially like MMA, you know, you obviously can't knee to the groin. Happens all the time. They need a break. Knee them in the groin. Guess what? You got 5 minutes to rest.
You know, and then the media and then the fans and then even the organizations, you know, you do an illegal strike. You know, you're, and I'm assuming, again, because I've never been in one of these fights, but I think I would be the guy that says, you know what, I'm not prepared to continue. But everybody right. would get on that fighter that, no, you need to be a man or you need to be a woman and continue the fight.
Hey, sometimes it happens, you know, accidental eye poke. I've seen guys just, you know, they get the accidental eye poke and then they're done. They stop the fight or they get the accidental knee to the groin or kick to the groin. And instead of giving them the 5 minutes, they're just like, hey, I can't continue. And they end up calling it a no contest or, you know, something like that. So if you're prepared to cheat and try to get a break or restart or something like that, you got to also get prepared for losing the match.
Right, and getting a no contest. And whether it's accidental yeah. or on purpose, eye stroke, yeah. you know, eye poke, you know, you would think. So BK continues. BKFC continues new signings. They made a huge announcement this morning, and Artem will be on the program next half an hour. How yep. exciting, and you and I have talked about this, and Matt as well, mm-hmm. when we met you in Phoenix. How exciting is it to be involved not only with David, but with an organization starting from the ground, and the horizon is like there. There's so much possibilities with what David BKFC is doing.
You know, it's like the UFC in the early years, you know, kind of when they were on pay-per-view and they got blacklit, that no one could watch the UFC because it was taken off pay-per-view, but they were still doing these fights. I think it's still early for BKB, Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. I think it's still early, but it is going to grow, and it's growing, you know, leaps and bounds. It's like a snowball rolling downhill. It's just getting bigger. And believe me, I think it's gonna take over the combat sports. I really truly believe there's gonna be a lot of guys coming from MMA and from Muay Thai and from kickboxing, and they're gonna take over. They're gonna take over. Bare knuckle fighting is very exciting to watch, and I mean it's a true test of man versus man. I mean it's a straight up fist fight.
Yeah, no, I definitely love it. Going back to where you said the UFC, MMA, you know, but it was the UFC at the time, got blackballed. I always found it funny, and I still do, that it was taken off of the cable networks for family values, but they had adult entertainment on there.
Exactly, dude. I've been fighting that and saying that for years, you know. And then they put it on pay-per-view, and then it's okay. You know, you can swear, you can, you know, nudity, everything, but obviously it's a pay-per-view. So, you know, it is what it is. But again, I think bare-knuckle boxing, bare-knuckle fighting, in, especially here in the United States, it's just going to get bigger because every time somebody sees one of these fights, and I don't know if you guys got to see my fight, my 26-second knockout, man, everybody was telling me it was fight of the night. That was one of the best knockouts that they saw, and hopefully it's going to get aired, you know. We'll see what happens.
And I think it's fights like that will help Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, you know, go to the next level. You know, if we see whether it's MMA or a stand-up fight or really any fight, if it's not entertaining, that's not going to help promote the sport. What you like, did a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, no one wants to see a boring fight, especially in MMA where a guy just lays on you and it's not, you know, the exciting fight. I mean, if a guy takes him down and he whips out some crazy badass submission, then yeah, it's really cool. But if it's just laying there and being boring, no one wants to see that. They're paying their hard-earned money to see action. They want to see these guys go out and, you know, win, lose, or draw. They want to see a knockout. And, you know, you'll see the guys that come out and they swing for the fences, and if they get the knockout, great. But if they lose, it's also great because they were in there fighting their ass off. That's what the crowd wants to see. They really want to see guys that go out there and give it their all. They don't want to see a guy win by points. See action.
You know, I've always talked on this program 30-some years. You know, I don't, you know, I try not to show favoritism. I try not to say who I like and who I dislike. I have always said I was a fan of Tank Abbott's because Tank would come. He'd swing for 20 or 30 seconds. And like you said, it was entertaining. And not too many guys would fight that way. So, I mean, I totally get what you're saying.
Think about Tank Abbott, 8-8 in the UFC, 8 wins, 8 losses. But you know what? His 8 wins were amazing. And even though he lost 8 times in the UFC, those fights were amazing too because, again, it was action. It was nonstop. Hey, I'm trying to knock you out.
All right, so I've obviously following you on social media, on Twitter and all the other platforms. I've seen some things. You're now ranked, which is great. How you were not ranked before is beyond me.
I'm back in the rankings. You know, they had me ranked number 2 in the world, and then they had me number 3. Kimbo died. I took the number 2 slot. And then I went and fought in London, and then all of a sudden, mysteriously, I was taken off the rankings. And then I just fought now. 26 wins by knockout. I'm 26-3, documented by the Police Gazette and the Bare Knuckle Boxing Hall of Fame, which I got inducted to in 2017. And then for some miraculous reason, I'm ranked number 9. Come on, guys. I'm in the top 10, but I should be in that number 1 spot for sure.
You know, I sat with some people at one of the BKFCs. And, you know, we were talking, and they were talking negative about some other fighters in other organizations. And it kind of rubbed me the wrong way because you're supposed to be neutral, and yet you're talking about other fighters. And it really, truly did bother me. But now that you are ranked, I know that we've talked about you and Bobby Gunn. I saw something about a $100,000 wager now. Where are we? How do we get this done?
Look, man, I already told the promoter. He had Dave Feldman already put something out, and he goes, I bet the fight won't happen because both fighters are going to price themselves out. Well, I've already said, I know what Beck Rawlings got. I know what Tony Lopez made. I know what Chris Lytle made during the fight. Guess what? I'll fight for what you paid them. Give me their paycheck, and I'll fight Bobby Gunn. So I'm already in. Half the fight card is in. I've already agreed to it. Dave Feldman, pay me what you paid them. I'll fight. So let's get it done. I'm ready. Where's Bobby Gunn? All I hear is chirping. It's crickets right now.
So it's coming from the other side, and we've had Bobby on, and I like the guy, but if two people want to fight, you would think that they would be able to
make it happen.
Let the fight happen, yeah.
Yeah, let's make it happen.
If that doesn't happen, or it takes longer than it should, what's next? You know, when will you be back with BKFC?
When they show me the money. That's it. I fought this last time, didn't really get paid what I wanted to get paid or think I should have got paid. Show me the money. Show me the respect that I think I deserve and that I put into the sport, and I'll fight. You know, I'm ready to fight. Everyone that knows me knows I'll never duck anybody ever, and I always come and bring a fight. No matter win, lose, or draw, I always bring a, you know, I'm the Tank Abbott. I will swing for the fences, and if I win, great. If I lose, great. It doesn't matter. As long as those fans paid their hard-earned money and got a fight that was exciting, then I think I did my job.
So how difficult will it be? Has it been? You know, you need to make X. You need to get paid what you're worth. You only make money when you fight. You want to fight because it's what you do. So how do you determine what's 1 and what's 3 in the list of priorities?
I think it's all the same. I think it's all the same, you know. I just got reached out to, you know, I won in Mexico for Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. I knocked out the guy. And then all of a sudden, man, my phone rings up, M1 Global. It's coming to my neck of the woods. They said, Shannon, do you want to fight on the card? I said, absolutely. And they said, all right, we'll give you a couple options of fighters. Who do you want to fight? These are the guys you got. Man, I picked the toughest guy I could fight. I picked the guy who is actually going to have combined, him and I have over 500 fights. So there's only one other guy in the world that has more fights than me, and that's who I'm fighting. That's the guy I want.
That's stepping up. I mean, and you know, when we met you, obviously, we knew about you, but then when we met you out in Denver, that's all I've ever heard, you know, and that's all I've ever heard about you. So looking forward to the future. Hopefully that David can put this thing together. And if he can't, hopefully he'll sign you and we can see you back out at another BKFC.
Yeah, man, I love it, man. I love it.
Before I let you go, I always like to let my my guests, you know, plug their sponsors, plug the people who are able to make your life a little bit easier. So.
I want to give a big shout out to Knockout Radio, man. You guys do one hell of a job, and you know, win, lose, or draw, you guys are neutral. You guys always let the fighters talk, and you know, that's very appreciative. Only thing I got to say really is I want to give a shout out to Cowboy Cerrone, man. If he's listening, I'm his biggest fan, been this fan for a long time. The guy just gets out there and he does it, man. He'll fight anybody, anywhere, anytime. So my hat's off to Cowboy Cerrone. Don't really have any sponsors to thank at this point. I just want to tell everybody thanks for the opportunity to get out there and fight for you.
Awesome. Shannon, as always, thanks for your time. Stay in touch, and let's talk again soon.
All right, buddy. You guys have a good one.
Take care. Shannon the Cannon. It was probably the best thing to come out of our trip in Denver.
There was
seriously.
Awesome. No, it was great.
I mean, we had a great time in Denver. Enough of a good time that I've invited you to go to Philadelphia and hang out. That's all I need is to see you run up and down the Rocky statue.
And my heart has never fallen as fast as when Shannon Rich questioned my mohawk and my authenticity of being man enough to rock one. I was like, uh-oh.
I question it all the time.
I was like, I'm in the wrong place.
I would like to see that fight get put together, him and Bobby Gunn. Bobby's been on the program. I think he's a good dude as well. I'm not in the middle of all the other politics and stuff. But let's see a good fight.
I love how you Knockout Radio's neutral, like Switzerland.
Switzerland's not neutral.
I'm just saying.
My son with the college education said Switzerland was not neutral.
That's what they say.
And, of course, I wasn't neutral when I had Usman on earlier.
No?
Well, no. I don't root often.
Yeah,
I honestly don't root publicly often.
That's true.
You know, I mean, privately, you know, they're
not jumping up on the table, clapping at UFC events.
I'll never do that.
But we've seen it.
We have seen it. but I'll never do that. And very rarely will I let you know. But, you know, I figured Usman's one of our guys.
Yeah.
You know, and it's probably unprofessional for me to say it and to act it and whatever. But, yeah, I'm rooting for him.
Okay.
You know, he's a class guy. Not that Tyron's not.
Sure.
I don't know a whole lot about him. His trainer is one of my closest friends in mixed martial arts, and Dean Thomas. Or for those uneducated people, Den. I'm hoping that he's going to perform with Adam Hunter.
No.
Because Adam is doing the Friday night midnight show again.
Okay.
Now, I'm old and I can't stay up that late. But
true.
I was so disappointed. I could have gone back to seeing Dean perform.
Yeah.
Because I want to see that.
But it was kind of cool how, we talked to Usman earlier, right? And he's talking about how, the publicity's changed and they want to see the villain, the bad guy. The guy has no values. And you know, but then Shannon calls out a guy like Cerrone, who is the ultimate, who brings his infant child into the ring or into the cage in the octagon in Denver, you know, to show the family man and the softer side of the sport.
I'm okay with that because it's a baby who doesn't know what's going on.
Oh, okay.
Got a little choked up.
Yeah, you did. You are a family man.
More because I need a.
No, I mean.
I don't know about young kids. Just because, I couldn't imagine going in there and fighting and my 8-year-old son or my 9-year-old daughter is watching.
Do you like the kids coming into the octagon after a celebratory?
What age?
Well, I don't know because
what age?
I mean, at any age.
Well, yeah, I'm okay. My son at 32 comes.
What happened with McGregor, right? With Khabib and the fiasco and the melee. I mean, if that would have happened in Denver after Floyd and Mike Perry tapped, right, and Cerrone won, then. If that brawl breaks out between camps and between people, you got your infant child in the octagon. You know, so it's crazy, but at the same time, I love what soccer does, including the kids coming out, doing the walk on the field. I like that aspect of it, but I don't think kids belong in the octagon at any time.
We can get into the soccer thing. That gimmick is enough already.
You don't like it?
No, I don't.
Really?
I don't.
I mean, would you bring your son? I mean, I know you've let him be in the hands of evil people before.
Yes, he has. It's one of my favorite photos. It's a photo I've been posting. Sean is probably 3, being held by the most evil person in the world. Evil Knievel.
Yeah.
And he's not happy.
Evil?
Yeah, I was going to say, and neither was Sean. Evil's holding him like it's his own son, and yeah, Sean wasn't real happy about it.
But, look, we know these guys are warriors. We know that these guys come in and do battle inside. But, when does that switch turn off? You heard earlier from Usman, there's real beef in between these guys. Rashad has real beef with...
But that's the problem. That's where the sport has gone, because back in the day, there was beef, but it was all made up.
Right.
You know, I've always said, Jens Pulver, my buddy, fights BJ Penn. They hate each other. Next thing I know, Jens is in Hawaii. Right. Wait a second.
Playing tennis.
Doesn't PJ live in Hawaii? Oh, they're training together. You know, so it has developed into this new MMA where you have to talk garbage.
Sure.
You know, to sell a fight. I mean, I remember that Tito can.
Sure.
And afterwards they would admit it. Yet they're going to fight again in a year and a half.
I mean, Usman passed up four other people that were in ahead of him in the rankings, if the rankings are to be believed.
They're awful. Now, the rankings don't mean anything.
But you got four guys that he surpassed because he beat Dos Santos in such a overwhelmingly fashion that gets a title shot, right? So four guys got bypassed. Is that because Usman was able to talk it, sell it, you know, provide the entertainment value where him versus Woodley is a better draw, a better pay-per-view, a better sales? And that's going to add more beef to the Covington thing, for sure.
Oh, no, it definitely does. I mean, it sells the fight.
Because if you're Colby and you get bypassed because Usman puts a beating on Dos Santos, you know, isn't that just going to add fuel to the fire?
Yeah. I'm not a fan of it.
So,
but it helps sell it.
Sure.
You know, and like I said, I said it about Matt. Until Matt got hated when he was on The Ultimate Fighter, he was just another fighter. He was a champion, but you have to have people hate you as well.
Sure.
You know, radio, pizza making, fighting.
I got a lot of haters.
Well, I know you do. But do you have anybody that likes you? Because you have to have both.
There's the one guy.
What one guy?
The name Randy. It's a radio show.
I don't know. He likes you. I'm not sure.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. What happened now?
Nothing.
I hate it when you're doing
We're out of time. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Sun.
Let me tell you now. I took her home to my place, watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your game?